Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Wednesday morning, May the 6th, 2026. What do we got here? 5:26, 21 minutes past the hour. And we thank Adam for that very detailed news report. And that's something because the election results really did not come in full last night till after 11 p.m. So we thank Adam for being up to date in all the aspects of letting everybody know what happened last night. Matt Morgan gets up early, joins us live in the studio here this morning. Matt, good to have you here for the day after.
How's it going?
Well, let's start off the top here. In Marion County, Ken Stiverson reelected as Marion County Commissioner. I believe he got around, we have the numbers in front of us. I believe he got around 33% of the vote, followed by Tim Mooney, who got around 28% of the vote. Christy Neff, 19% of the vote. Jason Schauber, 18% of the vote. Now, the turnout in Marion County was about 23.34% of registered voters. Not even a quarter of registered voters. Turns out to be about 9,000 people. But this is on par with the gubernatorial primary in 2022, almost exactly duplicating it, about 23% of the electorate. So it did not go up, it did not go down. So let's start with the county commissioner race. A lot of people thought Jason Schauber could hold on to 30% of the outcast vote from the Republican Party. That did not happen. And Ken Stiverson, who I believe you said last Friday was a foregone conclusion, certainly comes back with name recognition last night.
Yeah, I didn't think Stiverson was gonna do all that well. I saw no signs, no advertisement, no anything for Stiverson, really. Maybe a few, but I mean, most of the signs that I saw were Mooney and Neff didn't even do, Neff didn't do nearly as well as I thought.
Well, I think Neff's problem all along was going to be first time run for office. Everybody else had run for office before or held public office. And even though her husband had been in public office, that does not always transfer.
Well, I mean, I guess Stiverson's name recognition pulled him through on that one. I mean, like I said, I mean, I didn't see a whole lot of campaigning. I mean, he might have been doing something on like Facebook, maybe. I don't get on Facebook.
But well, when you're the head of the Republican Party, that helps you.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, I mean, he was also a county commissioner at one point in time, so that's, you know, beneficial.
Now we do have to say that both levies last night went down in defeat. The Marion County Board of Developmental Disabilities went down in defeat by quite a lot, 37% for, 62% against, and the Adam H. levy went down in defeat. Now, that was a little closer, 47% for, 52% against. Well, you know, levies haven't done well for quite a while.
Well, I think last time a couple of them passed.
I think the Council on Aging passes theirs because a majority of voters are elderly. But other than that, it's hard to pass a levy.
Well, that's unfortunate, I guess.
And then the other big story of the night was the 86th District. And by the way, Ben Weber has already released a statement this morning, and we will read that as we have it here on WGH Talk. This is from Ben Weber. Thank you to all the voters and supporters who have entrusted me to be the Republican nominee for state representative in Ohio's 86th home district representing Union and Marion counties. I'm honored by your support and grateful for your confidence. Now it's time to unite as we head toward November. I'm ready to work hard to elect Republicans up and down the ballot, from our next governor, Vivek Ramaswamy, to leaders at the local level, and to fight for people of Union and Marion counties at the Ohio State House. That's Ben Weber this morning, and send in a picture. Thank you, Union and Marion counties, with him and his wife. Ben Weber, I really don't care about the age anymore. You got to say Ben Weber is running political campaigns like a tenured person.
Yeah, I mean, Ben's campaign was very effective. I mean, you know, he did a lot better than I thought. Well, I mean, I figured he would win. I won't lie there, but I do think he did. He pulled a much larger percentage of the vote than I thought he was going to.
I think the significant number for Ben Weber is last time when Wesleyan Davis ran against Tracy Richardson, she did better in Marion County. I believe she came within 10% of the vote in Marion County. Last night, Ben Weber, in a three-person race, got 52, nearly 53% of the vote in Marion County. He got more votes than the other two combined in Marion County. Wesleyan Davis got about 34%, and Stephen Wolf got about 13%, which was no surprise because his presence in Marion County was not that strong. But all, you would have to say, 50% of Wesleyan's support in Marion County in the last 2 years eroded.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think Ben ended up being a stronger candidate than originally thought. I mean, he ended up with Jack Kellogg's endorsement. He ended up with Tracy Richardson's endorsement. Yeah, I mean, his campaign was very effective. I mean, he's a pro.
And overall, Ben Weber won the race with 45% of the vote. Wesleyan Davis got 31% of the vote. And Stephen Wolf got 23%. Had a much stronger presence in Union County, which put Stephen nearly at a quarter of the vote. But again, he defeats his closest challenger, Wesleyan, by 14 points.
Ben. Yes. I figured it was going to be closer to five, maybe 10 points.
Well, this was the nastiest race. We've been saying that for weeks now.
Yes, it was.
Why wasn't it even close in a Republican primary? This wasn't close by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, I mean, people do like Ben. I mean, there's that. I mean, there was the complaints about his age, but apparently the age didn't end up being that big of a thing. There was a second part to that, but it escaped me.
Well, as I said before, I'll say it again. Wesleyan, if you meet her, is a nice person. She has a lot of drive. She has a lot of determination. But unfortunately, people do see her as divisive. And the longer she's been around, you know, probably 2 or 3 years now, she gets more divisive by the day. The people who love her, and the people who don't like her really don't like her. And I think that's what this result basically backs up. And I would also say you cannot discount Ben Weber turning into a pro politician.
Well, I'd agree. I mean,
his signs were already gone this morning.
Yes.
At 7:30 a.m.
Busy
down
guy.
The boulevard. And he already had his statement out. This is a guy who works. And I think he just outworked her. And I think he also was seen as a less divisive person.
Well, Ben didn't, to my knowledge, fire back on anything.
No, and we know that she spent $250,000 on this race.
That's gotta hurt.
Well, it's gotta hurt, but also to the fact that you didn't even come close.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that just adds on to that's gotta hurt. I mean, you know.
And I think also you have to say running a Facebook campaign is not the way to go. So, you know, I don't know if we'll see Wesleyan again or not, but certainly I think this would be a wake-up call for her to think about how she's running her campaigns, the people she's associating with, and how that's all going.
Well, I mean, I think Wesleyan's should probably run for something. I mean, she's I guess pretty popular in like Jerome Township. You know, she that's the.
I think she could run on a much smaller level. I don't think she can run for state rep again. I think. Why would the party support somebody who's lost twice? And it's pretty apparent to me if Ben wants this seat for a period of time, he's going to be able to have it.
I would think that running a contentious campaign is never. I mean, it doesn't. I mean, I don't know, it worked for Trump, I guess, but Trump's a You know, he's his own, like, thing. Contentious campaigns don't seem to do all that well.
Especially on the local level, if you know the person.
Well, I think local level, like, contentious campaign, like, yeah. I mean, everybody, I mean, well, obviously not everybody knows everybody, but, you know, it's one of, like, it's just a small town effect.
And you also have to say, Jason Schaber, who I think most people would probably say is a great politician, I just don't think fares well in the Republican Party right now. And I'm not sure where that all goes, but I think that was that certainly was a bellwether last night, that he just does not do well in Republican primaries. Although, I would like to say, that race from the person who got the fewest votes to the person who got the most, I mean, it's 900 votes. Less than 900 votes. So it's not like there was a big spread there.
I guess, yeah. I mean, it was a close. Percentages just make it look otherwise, I guess.
Now let's go to the state races here, because this is kind of fascinating. Pretty much with all the precincts reporting at this point, Vivek Ramaswamy won his primary with close to 83% of the vote. Casey Putsch got around 17.5%. I said if he got more than 10%, that's big trouble for Vivek Ramaswamy as he heads into the fall. And that's big trouble for Vivek Ramaswamy as he heads into the fall. Although, I also said if Casey Putsch wins a county. He did not win any counties last night. And I'm looking at the data. You know, Ramaswamy got over 70% of the vote in Marion. So I don't know how to take this anymore, because it would seem that this did not follow any kind of pattern that the 2022 gubernatorial primary did. You know, Vivek still did well where Vivek needed to do well. Now, Putsch overall got a much higher percentage than I think people thought, and I don't think those voters, which are about 143,000 voters, are going to turn out in the fall for Ramaswamy, but a lot more voters are going to turn out in a main election than in a primary. So, I don't know. I don't think Vivek's dead in the water yet.
Well, I wouldn't say that, obviously. I mean, we still got, you know, plenty of time until the election. But, I mean, I think, yeah, 17%, well, 17.5%, certainly higher than I thought. I thought it was going to be closer to, like, 5 or 10%. Yeah.
I thought as time went on, he was picking up steam. And that's what the articles were saying.
Casey Putsch?
Yeah. But also, you got to remember, Vivek really did zero campaigning in this primary against Putsch. So, you know, that's how he did with 0% campaigning.
Well, also, I guess we're going to see if Casey Putsch is going to hold true to his word that he's going to do everything in his power to not get Vivek elected.
Now, some big surprises last night. I think everybody felt that the Secretary of State primaries on both sides were going to be close. Neither one were even close. Robert Sprague, our current treasurer on the Republican side, defeated Marcel Skrbicz over 70% to 29%. Robert Sprague, our current treasurer, proves himself to be a very strong candidate going into the fall for Secretary of State.
There weren't nearly as many close races as I thought there were going to be this year.
Well, and I'll tell you another one that shocked a lot of people. People felt the Brian Hambly-Allison Russo race was going to be very close, the Democratic primary for Secretary of State. Allison Russo blew Hambly away with almost the same amount of votes, percentage-wise, that Sprague blew Skrbicz away. 67.5 votes, percentage points for Russo, 32.5 for Hambly.
Well, that's good for Allison Russo. I mean, I hope, you know, it in theory could bode well for her in the election.
Well, then another one that was thought to be close, you had John Kulowitz, the Democratic primary for Attorney General. Kulowitz and Elliot Forehan, who was seen as kind of the outsider in the Democratic Party, but also the guy who had no experience, kind of like the Brian Hambly candidate. Kulowitz walked away with that, 63%. Forehan only garnering 37, 36%.
I mean, that one doesn't necessarily surprise me.
The margins don't surprise you?
Maybe the margins are higher than what I thought, but I mean, like, that's one of the I was looking into that race, and Cool Lakes tend to be the establishment kind of candidate, and Forehan had, you know, he had problems with his own, like, he's had problems with his own party, I don't remember exactly insulting people or something like that, and he would just so he had problems within, you know, the Democratic Party itself.
The Republican treasurer's race was the one to watch, and we all said that, and it did turn into be the one to watch last night. Jay Edwards was backed by J.D. Vance, and Christina Rogner was endorsed by Vivek Ramaswamy, and it was a very close race. Jay Edwards wins 53% of the vote. Rogner gets nearly 47% of the vote. This proves to me that Jay Edwards is a very strong candidate. He's got the backing of the vice president. He's got the backing of Bernie Moreno. I'm sure he will have the backing of the party now that Rogner's gone. And this man can campaign, because he was not running a big, flashy campaign. He did not have the money that Rogner had at all.
Well, I don't know what the marketing looked like as far as for the campaigns go, but, I mean, that's not as close. I figured Edwards was going to win that race, and honestly, I figured it was going to be by a wider margin than that, because, I mean, he was endorsed by the vice president, and he was invited to the State of the Union by Bernie Moreno.
But she had Vivek Ramaswamy's endorsement, and Vivek was on the ticket last night and won handily, and she also had the money in, and I remember back in January, most people in the know felt she was the shoe-in because he'd had a little bit of scandal. He's not currently in office. And that
Edwards?
Yeah. But not the case.
Well, I mean, you know, I think it does bode well for Jay Edwards. I mean, I think that the endorsement from the vice president and Bernie Moreno work well for him. And well, yeah, I think that you're right. As far as now that the primary's over, I think he can get the backing of the party and, you know, that the whole nine. Yeah, he'll be a strong candidate.
There's no doubt in my mind the biggest problem in the Democratic Party right now is that particular race, because you've got an almost completely unknown in Seth Walsh on the Democratic side who did not face a primary, and you had probably the most hotly contested, well, it was the most hotly contested race on the Republican side. The only candidate that I'm aware of who got the endorsement of the vice president and Bernie Moreno, and had to run a hard campaign, and in running a hard campaign, Jay Edwards had to get his name out in Ohio, and people, his name recognition, I bet in Ohio right now is pretty high. I think Seth Walsh is probably next to nothing.
That's probably true, yeah.
So, I mean, if you're going to stack people up, I mean, some people know who Kulowitz is, as he'll go in to face, I believe, Keith Faber. You know, that's name recognition for name recognition. Alison Russo certainly has been around a while, and certainly Sprague is the current treasurer. That's name recognition for name recognition. Just by being the candidates for governor, that's name recognition versus name recognition, Acton and Ramaswamy. Jay Edwards certainly has got it. I don't know that Seth Walsh does.
You think Vivek Ramaswamy will come around and endorse Jay Edwards?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, I think that works out well for him also.
Well, and by the way, Ben Weber still has to face off against Ken Halloran.
Yes.
In the fall now. I mean, that race is not over. So, what's the story last night? I think it's that establishment candidates' experience still matters in Ohio.
Yep.
When given a choice, experience versus non-experience, across the board, they chose experience.
Well, that's good. Yes, I tend to agree with that.
All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944, if anybody has anything they'd like to say. 40 minutes past the hour here, WGH Talk Time. We'd love to hear from some of the some of our local pundits who call into the show. What do you make of the elections? Oh, by the way, and I want to thank everybody who participated in the election coverage. Matt, going down to the Board of Elections, we had the results before the website did. That's great. Christian Pearson, in the game he was running here in the studio, he did homework and maps, and it was all up on a television. I mean, it was like the Jetsons in the studio last night. It was an unbelievable setup, and it was really like Steve Kornacki on MSNBC. It was something. Sean Kraft was here and doing a lot of work to make sure everything was up and running. Terry Tackett came in raring to go and served his punditry well last night, knew what he was talking about. And as I say, Adam got everything ready to go and up and running this morning. So it was an absolute team effort, and because of that, the team won.
Well, that's good.
So again, if anybody's got anything to say, the phone lines are open, or if you just want to talk about the broadcast, I hope you enjoyed the broadcast last night. Ended up going about, what time? We started about 7, and we ended up going off about 10:30, so 3.5 hours, I guess? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. So we hope if you tuned in last night that it was entertaining. We hope it was informative. We hope we gave you some insights. You know, primaries are a little more jovial. You don't have to be as serious as you do in the main, because there's just not a lot of races, you know, on the local level. And I think that's what happened last night. But it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, I think so. I like election night.
Yeah, I think it's very interesting. 740-383-9944. Feel free to give us a buzz if there's anything on your mind. But that's the election wrap-up, and we go from here. I was saying this morning, maybe I'm saying this again, you know, a few hours sleep last night, you never know. But I think it's so interesting that the Ben Weber signs were gone on the boulevard as I drove in this morning at 7:30.
Well, you know, they were working.
He must be up all night. You know, this guy...
doesn't sleep.
No, I don't think he does sleep. He's got a thing going on. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, guys, I heard Wesleyan's having a sale on Botox and fillers this morning. She's got $250,000 to recoup.
Oh, Lord. Don't kick the poor lady while she's down.
Oh, Lord, I'm loving every minute of it. Every person that endorsed her, city council, everybody else, I hope they are hearing this message loud and clear. We don't like you either. We don't like your candidate, and we don't like you.
You know,
congratulations to Ben Weber, who did run a wonderful campaign. And Wesleyan, I hope we don't hear from you again. I hope you get the two and done. I get to be me again. I don't have to be nice anymore. The election's over.
Well, honestly, I can't imagine we won't hear from her again. I can't imagine we would hear from her on this level again.
I dreamt last night that she did a protest with the state and wanted a recount.
Well,
I dreamt that, and I woke up this morning like, was that real? Did that really happen? I have to look it up and see if that happened, and she hasn't done that yet. So.
Well, you know what was shocking to me in that whole thing, and I know the Union County numbers were different because it turned out that Mr. Wolf did have a pretty good presence in Union County. But
what were his Union just county numbers, just percentage-wise?
I think they
20-ish?
Were 20-ish. Yeah, they were over 20%.
Did he hit over 20? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Well, because overall, I think he was at 23%.
Pretty good for a guy that lives in his parents' basement, right?
That well,
was
there
the
you go.
Allegation. That
there
was
you
the
go.
Smear that came out against him.
Well,
so.
Here's the
did
thing.
Did he do better than Wesleyan in Union County?
I don't think he did, but boy, they were neck and neck.
Close.
They were neck and neck.
Okay.
But you know what's fascinating to me? Is everybody thought Wesleyan's stronghold was going to be Marion County. And
got handed to her up here, didn't she?
She did. And that's what's shocking, because again, and this is what I've been saying, you know, as the weeks have went on. Ben Weber was running such an effective campaign in Marion County. I always knew Union County would be a little strange because Stephen Wolf did have a much better presence there. But in Marion County, it was pretty much Ben Weber versus Wesleyan Davis. And Wesleyan had done so much better in Marion County than she did in Union County against Tracy Richardson. I believe it was a 10% spread against Tracy. And in a three-person race against Ben in Marion County, she lost by 18 points, 18 percentage points. And that's with the entire city council's endorsement.
Well, then that I'm going to I'm surprised by Stuyvesant. I'm shocked that he pulled out that amount of the vote, because as Matt said, I don't think Stuyvesant did much campaigning. I didn't see.
Well, you're the head of the party, and you're a former candidate or former commissioner.
I know, but the party was split enough, because we're not going to count Jason as part of the party. The party was split enough that it had three candidates for one seat.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, the weak chain in that proved to be Mrs. Neff. The idea was that they all were going to finish about 25%. She did not.
Hey, on your Facebook page, you posted last night the results, and I was the very first person to comment, and again, this is post-election Naomi, and I said, "Dear Christy Neff, the Marion County Republican Party hates you as much as they hate Jason Jobber."
Well, I'll tell you though, who
she's
turned,
supposed to be an insider though, Spears. She's supposed to be the one that picks their candidates and prepares them, and she's got all this community service and involvement and all these hookups with all these nonprofits and Habitat and the Popcorn Festival and all these organizations, and she beat Schauber by what, 50 votes, and he's supposed to be the Republican pariah.
Well, but here's what I will say, and I think this is interesting to look at these numbers this morning after we've just went through Christy Neff and Weslyn Davis. I don't know that we can't say that the woman factor isn't an issue here, because I don't know any woman in the Republican Party that did particularly well last night. And do we have to say that
maybe
was...
Maybe it's just those women.
Well, I don't
did
know.
We ever think about that? Maybe it's just those women. We've got Christy Neff, who, again, we're day after the election. She's one of the worst people that I've ever met in my entire life. And I think she might have a bit of a sense of inflated ego of how much people like her. And hopefully that vote count last night got her back into check, into her lane, as to how much people actually like her. Because the only people I've seen like her are the ones that commented on the internet that are her actual friends. Everyone else that's ever spoken to me about her does not like her.
Well, I think we've learned
she's
not
a likable person.
Well, I think we've learned that internet campaigns do not work.
Well, and she was on the internet every single day. Christy Neff was. Mike Bodine ran her campaign. So maybe there's her real close connection to city council, too, that kept her out of office. So I'm loving that. Because Danny Clark and all these other people, Sean Barr, everybody's standing there at Christy Neff's fundraiser smiling with their arm around her. She didn't get elected either.
Well, it's just, it's really...
Maybe we're giving the city politicians more power, or they think they have more power than they do. Because, well, you know, like Kevin Davidson, he endorsed Weslyn. Weslyn lost.
Well, I'll tell you, Mark Davis looks like the genius this morning, because I think he was the sole current office holder in Marion that was really backing Ben.
Well, he also backed Christy Neff.
Well, that didn't turn out well for him.
No. The whole Republican Party, how they're going to look at each other at the next meeting is going to be interesting. I'm a Republican now, and I want you to know that I was encouraged to run for city council, but to put my resume in for 4th Ward City Council, and now that the election is official and legit and I'm a Republican, I think I might do it, Scott.
Well, you could be 4th Ward council person on Monday night.
Yeah, I mean, and here's my pitch. I've got 4 college degrees. One of them's a master's degree in business administration. One of them's a degree in accounting. Lots of auditing class coursework, lots of ethics training. I did graduate from Christian University, believe it or not. And ethics are one thing that are heavily pushed in our business training. I have completed all of the new trainings required by an elected official, so I'm already ahead of the game. I can print out my little certificates. I'm very effective at writing letters to the state of Ohio and bringing them in to take a look at things. You know, so I don't have a problem with accountability or transparency. And I've lived in the 4th Ward for 20 years.
Well, I don't know that the pitch is a bad pitch at all. You know, so what about the Ramaswamy race? Putch getting 17% of the vote.
Was that Marion County or statewide?
No, but he did pretty similar in Marion. Statewide.
That's not enough to lose the race for Vivek, but it's still noteworthy.
Went
in counties at all.
Yeah, well, that's what's fascinating, because, see, you would think that getting that many votes statewide, that he would have done better in a place like Marion County. Vivek got 74% of the vote in Marion County. Putch only got close to 18.98. So, you know,
I wonder how many people in Marion had not heard of Casey Putch, though, and they just picked Vivek because they're still doing the MAGA thing. Because we're still hardcore MAGA territory, even though MAGA's losing its edge nationwide. We're still hardcore.
Well, it is fascinating. I just think if Ramaswamy can win places like Marion County with that 70% that he got last night, he certainly can still be effective in this race.
Oh, I wholeheartedly believe that Ramaswamy will likely be the next governor. I plan on voting for Acton. My husband, who probably wouldn't typically never vote for a Democrat, will be voting for Acton also. We discussed it last
but
night.
But what do you think Acton's problem is? Because last night, boy, she was touting that she's got historic headwinds and all this. What do you think?
She's not an executive level leader, in my opinion. She just doesn't come across, and it doesn't have to do with being a woman. I think we can all agree with that. I just don't find her aggressive, forceful. I don't know. She's just not struck me that she would be able to take over her experience. Yes, she's a doctor, but I mean, you need some sort of political experience to run an entire state. You have to know the machine. And yes, she was part of the health, whatever, but you know, legislation and all of that stuff, just going to city council, I understand how, I don't understand at all. I understand how complicated it can be, city government. So state government and then running an entire state, I just think you probably need some type of legislative experience somewhere.
Well, it's interesting to me because I thought the Russo win by a large margin, the Kulowitz win by a large margin.
Now, Russo, was she picked by Vance or by Ramaswamy?
No, Russo's the Democrat.
She was the Democrat, yeah. I forgot.
Yeah. But defeated Hambly, again, a doctor with no experience running for office, who was endorsed by Dick Celeste. And she absolutely destroyed him. And Kulowitz destroyed Forehan. And Sprague destroyed Stribich. You know, the politicians, the people who have experience, absolutely destroyed by over 60% margins, and in Sprague's case, 70% margin, the people who had no experience. And I
think some of that has to do with, my assumption would be, has to do with name recognition. Because when I went in there to vote, I'm not a Republican, so I'm looking at this Republican ballot like, who are these people? You know what I mean? So if you're a Republican and you've heard the name Sprague, but you've not heard whatever that other name is, then you're probably going to pick Sprague. Just, I mean, that's just by default, because I don't think most people are like me. I leave them blank if I don't know.
Right, but I just think a doctor with no experience who was endorsed by a former governor, you know, that's
hey, we got one of those as county commissioner, and look how that turned out.
We got one of those running for governor.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I think that Christian didn't feel that was a forerunner last night. I feel that's a big forerunner in the Democratic Party right now.
I don't see her as an executive. I don't believe she has executive level experience. But I mean, you know, Vivek, he's a billionaire. He's a businessman. Does that mean he's going to be a good leader? No. I mean, that doesn't give him the executive or legislative experience either. But, so I really don't think we have. I don't think either of them are a good choice, but Vivek is the MAGA choice, so I'll be going with Acton.
Well, it's a very interesting thing that will play out this fall, because I don't know what Sherrod Brown's place against Husted will play in that
particular
race.
I'll be voting for Sherrod Brown.
Well, I don't know how that's... I honestly think Vivek's probably in better shape than a lot of people thought, even though Putch's percentages turned out to be higher. I think they just did not translate into county wins, and they didn't translate into knocking him down in counties. You know, it seems like he was getting about 18 to 19% in counties. You know, he wasn't cutting Ramaswamy's vote as much as he needed to.
I didn't think he would. I thought he was... And in areas like this, I mean, did he really campaign? Yeah, he was on your show, but if you don't listen to your show, then I don't think people knew who he was. So, yeah. And I'm not saying he had a chance to win. I don't mean that. I just don't think he campaigned very hard and got 20% of the vote.
You know what's interesting, though, about this whole thing? When you go back and look at it, the most vocal people, the most vocal critics, did not do well at all last night. Casey Putch, Weslin Davis, who else was a vocal critic? Forehan. The people who were very vocal and very nasty in their campaigning did not do well.
Is Hambly the one who said that he would, like, hang Donald Trump in the courts or whatever?
No, that's Forehan.
Oh, my.
That was Forehan?
That was Forehan.
Oh, my.
Well, you know...
I thought that kind of stuff got the Secret Service at your front door.
Well, you know, he had to go back and clarify that he meant, like, you know, take him to court and beat him with the rule of law, and then... But, yeah, he just said that he would, like, hang him in court or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, wow, come on, guys.
When you're making metaphors, you got to make sure that you're saying, metaphorically speaking, of course...
Well, I think he had to go back and do that. He had to wipe that up later on.
He got beat over the head for that one.
Hey, Shaver released a thing on his Facebook page if you guys are interested in reading it, but he said he's never running for office again. So.
Oh, that was the... Well, you know, I kind of got that impression the other day during the interview.
We decided that we were all going to go out and eat pizza together last night because none of us had ever hung out outside of passing campaign literature or city council or anything. We'd never all hung out socially. So myself and my live-in boyfriend of 20 years and Jason and some of his family and Ayers and his family, and we all went out to the OK and we ate pizza, and the early results came in and we saw that Skyverson was ahead, and we were all, Skyverson, well, and you know, we're like, Jason, you called it. You said he was going to be the sleeper. Either he was going to be dead last or he was going to win. And we kind of all just put down our phones and talked, and Ayers had a horse that was racing last night, and we all just chatted and had a nice time. And
well, let me get this statement in here. It's Jason said, the votes are in, and Mr. Stuyvesant is the winner. I want to congratulate him and wish him the best as he serves Marion County. I couldn't get it done after three attempts. The third time wasn't the charm. It's three strikes and I'm out. I have no plan to run for elected office again at 50 years old. I believe it's time to give it to the next generation of leaders, give the next generation of leaders a chance. To all the candidates in the commissioner race, thank you. It isn't easy to run for office. There's always someone posting negativity in so-called investigative Facebook pages, pushing one-sided narratives, using AI to spin stories and misrepresent facts to fit their agenda. That's part of what you sign up for. But I don't give any credit for that outcome. Stuyvesant, Mooney, and Neff were strong candidates, and the voters made their choice. I believe God has a different plan for me. I don't know what that looks like today, but I may not know tomorrow, but I trust it, and it will and I will follow it wherever it leads. I can't thank my crew, Marion Misfits, enough. This was the most aggressive door-knocking campaign I've ever been a part of. We went to every Republican door in the city multiple times, covered the villages, and in the final week, hit every door we could, regardless of party, just to get the vote out. I truly enjoyed going door-to-door and meeting so many great people along the way. And honestly, the best part of this campaign came at the end. One of the misfits insisted we have an election night watch party, and I'm glad we did. When the early voting results came in around 8:30 p.m., the trend was clear. Stuyvesant leading, me trailing. After that, none of us really cared about the numbers. We sat together, laughed, joked, and didn't talk politics for the rest of the night. That's how my political career needed to end, sitting with great friends and family, enjoying life. Thank you to everyone who voted. I'm at peace knowing we have... knowing we gave it everything we had, and I'm at peace knowing I'll never have to ask for your vote again. Jason Schauber. Well, that's kind of sad.
What? But you know what? I don't feel sad about it, and I was one of the people sitting there with him. We had a nice time.
I think he had a good time last night. I just think that's kind of sad that...
It's sad that we're losing him as a community. Oh, for sure. For sure. As a voice... For the people, yes, absolutely. And, you know, maybe one day his perspective will change, but I respect and admire Jason, and I'm glad I got to become his friend out of this.
Well, you know, who knows what the next step is, but, you know.
He won't ever give up fighting for the people, I'll tell you that. If Jason sees something from this side of the aisle, that he knows is wrong and that he knows the people need a voice on, he'll stand up for us, even when he's not being paid or elected to do it. He won't leave his community high and dry. He really does care about this place.
No, I think that's absolutely true, and I just, that's sad, though, that anybody after a race, says they're absolutely not going to run again. I don't think it's ever good to take a Sherman, though, because someday something can creep in, you know, maybe not in his case, but 50 is certainly not elderly, and...
Well, I kept asking him last night. I was like, well, you're going to have to get a real job now. What are you going to do? He's like, stop saying that, because apparently they were giving him a hard time on the way over about... You're going to start hitting the pavement looking for a job tomorrow if this doesn't work out. So, yeah, we were having a good time. We had a good time. And I legitimately believe, you know, people might, oh, he's upset or what. No, I don't think anybody left there sad or upset last night.
Maybe we'll hear from him this morning. We got another
maybe
hour.
Maybe we will.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Take care, guys.
Bye-bye. All right, Matt, we're going to go to break here in a second. But, okay, there's Jason Schauber's statement.
Yeah, I think it's unfortunate that Jason is done with politics, I guess. You know, I mean, he's been in politics for quite some time now, so...
Well, Jason, if you're out there listening, call the top of next hour. We'll open up with you. All right, we're going to break. We'll come back in about 15 minutes.
I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council.